Vanderbilt University Medical Center is proud to present Vanderbilt Health Radio, your guide to the latest in healthcare research and treatments. Here's your host, Debbie Allen.
And you're listening on NashvilleNetRadio.com, where Music City talks online, powered by WS Radio, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. We've got some exciting innovations in knee replacement, things that are just on the horizon that can really help you out. And even if you're battling arthritis, something exciting that can help you too. Dr. Corey Callendine is with us. He's an assistant professor of clinical orthopedic surgery there at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. You can find him online. Where do we want to go for your website?
The best place to go actually is Vanderbilt Bone, the letter N, joint.com.
Let's talk about these innovations in knee replacement. I think a lot of folks now are seeing on radio, television, internet, people talking about this new female knee. That's a knee replacement designed just for women. Is arthritis more common in women? So why are these doctors then appealing more to women?
Right. Well, it's interesting. You think it would be about half-half, but actually 60% of all arthritis diagnosed by physicians is actually in women. So there's certainly a population and a need there. One company has kind of made a, somewhat of a marketing ploy to address the needs of women, because even though it's more common in women, women are three times less likely to have a knee replacement than men. And so we want to kind of bridge that gap. We want to reach out to that population. A gender knee or a female knee is one designed to fit the shape of a woman. We all know men and women all come in various shapes, and that's true across genders as well. So there are certain shape needs to the bones we're talking about. Now, deep under the skin.
Because it makes sense that a one size wouldn't fit all necessarily.
That's right. That's right. And we've always had multiple sizes, but adjusting the ratios, you know, perhaps the bone is somewhat wider as opposed to somewhat taller. And so one company in particular has kind of honed in on this and made some knees designed to shape and fit the bones of women better. We think that'll lead to, you know, better function in the long term. We don't know that yet, but certainly we think fitting these components better, more precisely, can help.
Any studies done on why women don't have as many knee replacements as men?
Well, that's a good question. That's probably better in the psychological literature than orthopedic literature. There probably are some social stresses and reasons for that, but the truth is it's there, and it's our job to reach out to those women to make sure they can do as well as their counterparts.
You know, computers seem to have taken over everything. Do you use computers as a surgeon?
I do. I do. You know, computers, we use computers in certain, particularly in total knees, we can use them to make sure the knees lined up. You know, people come in with arthritis and they have a kind of deformed, kind of bow-legged deformities, or perhaps they have knock-knee deformities. When that's the case, we want to straighten those knees, both for the health of the joint and also longevity of the implant. So we can use computers much like, you know, GPS, like you would in your car. We can turn those computers on in the operating room, register where the hip and ankle is of that particular patient, and then use that computer information to make sure that knee is straight so that the patient gets the best joint and, again, that it lasts as long as possible.
Any disadvantage of using a computer?
You know, there are some disadvantages. There are some cost disadvantages. They can cost more, unfortunately. That would certainly be off weight if we could prove that the knees would last longer. Also, the surgical time is perhaps a little bit longer. I tend to use them not across all patients, but in those patients with particularly deformed limbs or a prior thigh bone fracture that has particular geometry, that the computer will give me more information.
You talk about gender knees, but are there things as like patient-specific knee replacements?
There are. You know, that's kind of new technology. We talk about fitting the implants to the bone, and what we can do now is get an MRI or a CT scan. We all know those as advanced imaging, but a CT or MRI scan of the joint before surgery, send that information to the company so that they can develop a specific block, a specific cutting block, to allow us to shape the bones so that the components fit on precisely. Again, you'll hear this concept of trying to get those components to fit right, to be in right, so the leg is straight, so that it'll last a lifetime.
Do you ever do partial knee replacements?
We do. We do. Partial knees, you know, you usually think, hey, it's a knee joint, it's a hip joint. But for us, the knee is actually three parts. We talk about the medial or inside of the knee. We talk about the lateral or outside portion of the knee. And we talk about the anterior portion of the knee, or the patellofemoral compartment. Now we have great flexibility in knee replacements, and we can address the specific area that's a problem for the patient. Perhaps it's just on the inside of the knee. So we would do a medial or inside partial knee replacement on that patient. Perhaps it's 2 out of 3. Perhaps it's the inside and the patellofemoral joint. We now have that flexibility to do what they call a deuce, properly named, replacing 2 out of the 3 compartments of the knee. And, of course, there's the traditional total knee, which is certainly time-tested.
How do you as a surgeon know when to replace which part? Is it all based on my pain level?
Right. Well, the patient's invaluable, no question. The patient's going to tell us what their level of disability is and where their pain is. We often talk about the finger test. You know, you have some people come to your office and with one index finger point directly where the pain is. That may be centered over one particular compartment. You have the other patient, though, that has oftentimes let their arthritis go for some time, and they'll say, well, you know, here, grabbing their knee globally about their knee. In that case, obviously, you're looking at more of a global pattern, and probably the knee is affected in all areas. I tell you, one thing that I do try to do for all my patients is I do go to the operating room with the plans to do whatever is needed. So we can open the knee and look directly at the cartilage and even make that intraoperative flexibility, intraoperative decision, as opposed to, you know, what percentage of the compartments need to be replaced, or is it a total situation?
Do you like what you do? I can tell. I sort of see your eyes twinkling as you're talking about everything.
I love it. That may be the caffeine, but no, I certainly love what I do, and I love the chance to be able to, you know, get to know these patients, you know, personally, and what we know about knee replacement and hip replacements as well, which is the vast majority of my practice, is these procedures help patients. As far as improving their life, their quality of life, you can really help someone if you replace the joints. It's something that we figured out. Sure, we're learning more. Sure, there's new techniques, but we figured it out enough to know to be able to restore function to them, and so I'm glad to be a part of that.
Do partial knee replacements last just as long as total knee replacements?
Well, there are some early failures in partial knee replacements, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, obviously, if you have arthritis in the other compartment, so say you went in planning on a certain compartment but then developed arthritis in the other areas of your knee, obviously you would need to go back for a knee replacement. So we usually say there's a higher, earlier fail rate in partial knee replacements. But if you make it to about 10 years, again, we're looking at a knee that you're gonna live your life with.
Yeah. If you've just clicked on, we are talking with Dr. Corey Callendine, Assistant Professor of Clinical Orthopedic Surgery at Vanderbilt. We've talked much about new technologies and knee replacements, but what should our listeners be doing right now to minimize discomfort and optimize their function if they're in the early stages of arthritis?
Well, that's great, Debbie. And I think having an action plan from the get-go is excellent. You know, oftentimes I don't have the privilege to see the patients early on in the early arthritis stage. We have so many good primary care physicians out there managing their patients that I see them late, but I always remind anyone with knee arthritis that there are great, conservative, simple, fairly low-risk treatment options. Maintaining an active lifestyle, keeping your motion, working your quad strength to optimize that. Over-the-counter anti-inflammatories are great to decrease the inflammation. Certainly, they don't give you back your cartilage. Cartilage degenerating is what arthritis is. They don't give you back your cartilage, but they can treat those symptoms and lead to a full function life.
If you're encouraging patients to walk, can they be walking too far and exacerbating their arthritis?
Well, we definitely want to focus on low-impact activities. So walking on a level ground in good supportive shoes is obviously very different than walking on rugged or uneven terrain. I try to have my patients, you know, sequentially build up, but do as much low-impact aerobic activity as possible.
So even if they wanted to walk 5 miles a day, is that too much?
No, it's not too much. If their knees will tolerate it, if they can tolerate it, the benefits to their heart and lungs far outweigh any additional ongoing damage to the cartilage. And plus, you live a fuller and a happier life.
All right, let's talk about new things that are happening in the treatment of early arthritis.
Sure. So there's always new things on the horizon. New doesn't always mean better, but there are some incredible new injections, fairly new injections that we've been using. They were introduced first in Europe and now here in the United States. It's actually fluid, believe it or not, that we get from chicken combs. It's hyaluronic acid, which is a normal substance in your cartilage.
So from the rooster combs?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I love the hand gestures, the rooster combs. I wish you all could be here with us. But from rooster combs, we harvest it. It can be developed synthetically as well, but we're able to to inject those into the knee joint, and it acts as a lubricant. Or my father explains it as WD-40. That's not exactly right, but the concept is lubricating the cartilage that remains to make sure that it doesn't go on to degenerate. So what we're trying to do is save the cartilage you have. There are some options for cartilage replacement. To be honest, that's a very young and developing field. So if we can do anything to save your cartilage, we want to do that. These fluid injections, sometimes globally called viscosupplementation, and individually, some of the names are Hyogen or Syndisc. Those injections can help nourish the cartilage that remains.
And did they have bad side effects?
The side effects are minimal. Because they are a chicken product, if you're allergic to chickens, you would have to go with a synthetically produced product. It is injections, and there are a series of injections, either 3 to 5 injections into your knee. Anytime we break the skin, anytime we do an injection in the knee, there's a chance you could develop an infection. Now, that would be very rare, but barring those side effects, it's very low risk.
And do patients see immediate relief?
They don't. You know, steroid injections are out there, and it's something we haven't really talked about. Those can help during acute periods of inflammation, and those do help fairly immediately, over hours or certainly over 1 to 2 days. These injections, because they're actually nourishing your cartilage that remains, it takes up to 2 months to see their full benefit. The good news is, instead of a steroid, which average length of function is 6 weeks, these injections can last as long as 2 months, and that's what we want, prolonged benefit for our patients.
How can you tell if you're having knee pain? Do you automatically assume, if you're over the age of 40, that it is arthritis?
Well, statistically, you win. Arthritis is quite common, but there are all kinds of soft tissue and bony problems in and around the knee joint. Talk about tendonitis, of course, or ligament sprains. Obviously, the cartilage is in play, and arthritis, as we age, the incidence goes up.
You can find out about him by logging on to VanderbiltHealth.com/orthopedics or another website?
Yeah, Vanderbilt Bone, the letter N, joint.